Okay, first class is we're going to learn why we're here, the purpose of our existence. It's pretty simple, but very deep, and this is going to help to orient us the rest of the class, the rest of our lives. Okay, so why are we here on Earth? Where are we going? Okay, everything that God created on Earth has a meaning and purpose. A bird is made to fly in the air. Fish to swim, to see flowers in their beauty and aroma, or created to reflect the beauty and fragrance of their creator. However, of all that God created in this world, human person, man and woman, is the crown and the high point of all creation. This we find in the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. This lesson we want to learn why we were created and what is our ultimate destiny and purpose. Okay, first, who created me? Okay, it was God who is creator, who created me and brought me into existence. God also maintains my life in existence. As St. Paul preached, quoting the poet, in him we live and move and have our being. Okay, what I'd like you to do is, in the back of your sheet, the last sheet, you've got some space. What I want you to do is I want you to write something that Aristotle, maybe some of you have heard of Aristotle, who was a great Greek philosopher, that he taught and St. Thomas Aquinas taught. It's called the ladder of existence. The ladder of existence from... Is there another one of these? This is almost out, I really feel it. Ladder of existence. Yeah, this is running out already. From imperfect to perfect. So let's start. This is running out too. Start at the lowest level. It's running out too. Okay, first would be mineral. Okay, mineral would be matter. An example of that would be a rock. See, rock exists. It's made of matter. So that's greater than non-existence, at least exists. Okay, if we go up a step higher, Aristotle and Thomas speaks about vegetable. Yeah, this is running out too. Okay, this is a vegetable. That's better. So there is a difference. Mineral exists, right? And we take it one step, we're ascending. Vegetable exists, but it also has life. It has life. You really can't say that a rock has life. Take a step higher. And that would be animal. This is running out too. Maybe Teresa has some good ones. Okay, animal. So an animal has life and it has locomotion or movement. Let's take it a step higher. Take it a step higher. That would be, you just read, it would be the human person. Now, the human person has all the levels below, but it has a greater perfection. Human person has matter. We have bones, right? We also have life. We also have movement. But we go beyond that. We have a composite nature which is called both body and soul. Body and soul. So of all these, the human person, that's us, is greatest. Yes?
Where are the angels?
Good question. That was the next. You're anticipating my next level, yeah. The angels are actually higher than us. John, do you know the choirs of angels? A different level?
Seraphim and cherubim.
Any more? You know?
Archangel.
Okay, so you got angels, archangel, you got the thrones, you got
dominions.
Powers, and then John said the last two, the
seraphim and the
cherub and the seraphim would be the highest, okay? So even in the angels, there are some that are higher than others. The lowest would be the angels, the highest would be the, for example, we have a guardian angel, he helps us out. For the cherub and the seraphim, they are not involved with earthly activities, but they're in heaven praising the Trinity for all eternity. So they're before the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they're praising the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the angels, they are pure spirit. They're pure spirit, right? But what they have in common with us is intellect and will, okay? You know what that means? Intellect, your intellect and your will. Purpose of the intellect is to know the truth. Purpose of the will is to love. So we're called to know and we're called to love. Okay, can we go higher than that? Let's see. Move this picture for a minute. Oops. Can we go higher than that? Let's just take this for a minute. Yes?
The saints?
The saints are lower than the angels because the saints are human persons. I'll give you an example. Say, for example, an angel appeared to you tonight. If an angel appeared to me, I'd fall down on my knees before a beautiful angel. But was there an angel that appeared to a person that was greater than that angel? And I'll give you a hint. It's one of the mysteries of the rosary, okay?
Mary.
Yeah. So Mary's actually greater than the angels. You ever pray the litany? You ever pray the litany of the Blessed Mother? We call her the Queen of what? The Queen of... Yeah, but the Queen of the Angels, right? Queen of the Martyrs, the Confessors, the Virgins, the Queen of the Angels, the Queen of the Saints. So the angels are great, but in heaven they see Mary as the Queen. So Mary goes way beyond them. but we're below the angels. Beautiful, isn't it? And then we go from the angels to Mary, and beyond Mary we have, go ahead, what are you going to say?
The Trinity.
The Trinity, okay, right. So we've got the Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Which of the persons in the Trinity is greatest? The Father, the Son, the Holy, which one is the most important, the greatest? Father.
The Holy Spirit.
Max is right. No, they're what were we gonna say? No, they're all equal. And we can't say that the Father is greater than the Son is greater than the Holy Spirit. They're all equal. They're different, they're distinct, but they're equal. So there we have it. This is it's important that you learn this in this class. You have existence. You got life, and you got life and movement, and then you have the human person. Now, animal and vegetable, once they die, that's it. But we have what's called an immortal soul. What does that mean? An immortal soul. What's that? Yeah. But the soul that we have, your body's going to die, but your soul is going to live forever. Your mortal is going to live forever. When I arrived in California many years before you were born, I turned on the news to get to know a little bit of California, and I heard a story of this lady that was in Big Bear. She was jogging, and a mountain lion caught on to her and mauled her and killed her. Then they ended up by catching the mountain lion and killing the mountain lion. She had some cubs. And they raised money for the lady who had about 3 orphan children and money for the cubs. And they raised more money for the animals than for the lady's children. What do you think about that? California is kind of weird, I was thinking. Oh, wow, they're placing... Nothing against mountain lions, no. Nothing against the cubs. But we should never put an animal above the human person. Right? Like we've got a couple of cats, no. We have a couple of cats in our house. And we like these cats, no. But I'm not going to put the cats above Father Larry or Father Antolini or Father Craig, okay? That'd be wrong, wouldn't it? Definitely. We don't want to place cats. We don't want to, you know, make Father Larry and Father Antle sleep in the garage and the cats are sleeping comfortably in the bed, no? There's something wrong with that, right? But the way the world is moving, there's a certain movement in the world. We're placing the animals on the same level as a human person, and that's wrong. So your soul is worth more than the whole universe. And I'm not speaking using hyperbole, but that's the truth. Your soul is worth more than the whole universe. And we're going to be heading in this direction, this class. The primary reason why you're here in this world is to get to heaven. You hear that? The primary reason why you're here is to get to heaven. Now, whether or not you live a long life or a short life, it's really not that important. Today, I did a funeral, and I was looking at the name of the person and his wife and his kids. He's looking, this guy, he's 8 years younger than me. Wow, I wanted to check my pulse to see how I was feeling, though. He was in his mid-50s. Wow, that guy's dead. I'm still alive. It could be me next year. I don't know. Only God knows, right? But life is short. Life is short. You ever read the Psalms? It's mystical poetry of the Bible. Is that our life is like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and dries and dies as the sun goes down. That's pretty poetry, isn't it? Okay? Our life is like the flower of the field. It rises, but then it dries and dies as the sun goes down. St. James says that our life is like a puff of smoke. Remember when, as a kid, my father used to smoke pipes and cigars, and I'd be sitting as a little kid there, and he'd be blowing these circles, like little donuts. And I'd try to put my finger in the donuts. Could never do it. As soon as I got my finger in, it disappeared. That's how fast life goes. And St. Augustine, you ever hear of St. Augustine? He says that our life on earth, in comparison to eternity, is a blink of an eye. Yep, I saw your blink. Our life, in comparison with eternity, is a blink of an eye. I was thinking about this past year. 40 years ago, I graduated from the university. It seems like yesterday. I was getting my degree and then becoming a teacher. It seems like it was 1978. Where were you in 1978? Not even born yet, right? But it seems like yesterday. I was 22, no? Just like, wow, it seemed like yesterday. And it's gone by. So one of the points we're going to make here is even though you're young, don't waste time. You know, use your life to serve God and do all you can to get to heaven. Before you know it, you're going to be 11th grade, getting ready to college, and you'll be going to college, you'll be getting your degree, and then you have your profession. And you'll be saying, wow, it seemed like yesterday I was just in my confirmation class. Going by just like that. Wow. Okay? So here's the ladder of existence. God is number one. We are below the Mary and the angels. And we have a soul, an immortal soul that's going to be living for all eternity. Before reading, here's a question. Do you spend more time watching over your body or your soul? You've got to be honest. It's a good question, isn't it? Okay, think about time you rest, you bathe, maybe do sports, or for your body. But how much time do you get for your soul? Maybe a few prayers at night, and coming to confirmation, Mass on Sunday. So sad to say, you know, we give probably much more time to our body than our soul. And our soul is much more important, right? So that's one of the purposes of this confirmation class, is we want to give more and more importance to our soul. You know, St. Ignatius converted Francis Xavier. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Say, for example, you die with a multi-billionaire. You got three houses in Beverly Hills. You got a Mercedes-Benz. You ever hear of a Maserati, one of those Italian, with about a third of $1 million? You have all that, but you die in mortal sin. Where's it going to go? Can't take it with you, right? Did you ever go to a funeral, any of you? Do you ever see a U-Haul van behind a funeral hearse? You ever see one of those? See a funeral hearse? Did you see the U-Haul van that they bring that? You ever see that? Never going to see it. Because once you die, you can't take anything with you. No? And the richest person and the poorest person is going to end up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. Right? Isn't that true? The richest person, the poorest, can end up 6 feet beneath the ground. Death has respect for no one. None of us can expect it. And as the poet says, do not ask for whom the bell tolls for you. Right?
Yeah.
What's that?
I just wanted to say, you're buried 6 feet under, unless you're St. Francis Xavier and you're incorruptible and you're inside some glass altar.
Oh. Do you know what incorruptible means, any of you? Yeah. Can you explain that? Oh, what's incorruptible? What?
Like
That's great. John, do you know any who are incorruptible? You said Francis Xavier. You know? Francis of Assisi, no, but you've heard Padre Pio. Padre Pio. And you know who the hammer of the heretic is? It's St. Anthony of Padua. He died about 800 years ago. John, his tongue is incorrupt. Why would that be? He was one of the greatest what?
Preachers.
Yeah, he was one of the greatest preachers, St. Anthony of Padua. So if you go to Padua, Italy, you can see his body and you can see his tongue is still incorrupt after 800 years. And the children of Fatima, I think it's Jacinta. Jacinta is incorrupt too. Right, Andy? You're not sure? Yeah, okay. All right. So let's move on. Mm-hmm. We're on, is it number two? Is it number two? Okay, where was I before my creation? This is a good, an important question. Where was I before creation? The response is that before my creation, thank you, I did not even exist. It's a very humbling thought. Go back to the year 2000. Where were you? You're in the mind of God, right? You're in the mind of God, but you didn't exist yet. It's a humbling thought. Once you never existed, once I never existed, wow. God has given me, God has brought me into life and He's put me way up here. In the 60s, there was a very famous rock and roll group, Simon and Garfunkel. Okay, we used to have a song, I'm a Rock and You're an Island. This is way before your time, but when I was a teenager. No? I often thought, I'm not a rock and I'm not an island. I'm a human person. It's much greater. I could be a rock, I could be an island. I could be a hippopotamus. Or I could be a butterfly, or I could be a cucaracha, as they say in Spanish. But God created me a human person. Thanks be to God. But I should live, not simply on an animal level, but on a higher level, on a supernatural level. Okay, why did God create me? God created me out of pure love and nothing more. Out of pure love because He loves me totally and always. Stop and thank God for loving me into existence. Okay, here's a temptation from the devil. The devil exists. Not just some myth of the Middle Ages. The devil really exists. You make a mistake, you maybe commit a sin. The devil sometimes comes and says, you know, you're lousy. You did that again. I mean, God, you know, God doesn't really love you. Or God loves you less. That's a temptation. No matter what you've done, God always loves you. An analogy or a story, okay? Some of you have younger siblings. For example, Isabella, okay? Maybe you have a little sister that's 4 or 5 years old. She's driving a bike, and you're outside. Maybe you're playing tennis. You're shooting some hoops, and you're in a good mood. You got a lot of consolation. And your little sister falls off her bike into a mud puddle, and she scrapes her knee. And she's just bawling. Which of the two is your mother going to pay more attention to in that moment? You or your little sister? Obviously, your little sister, right? And she's not going to be bending over your little sister. Why did you fall off that bike? No? And give her a spanking. No. She's going to pick up the little sister, give her a hug, clean her pants, take her into the house, clean her wound, and get her some hot chocolate. Right? That's the way moms are, right? Well, that's kind of the way God is to us. God is kind of like, you got this great love for us. When we fall off the bike and we scrape our knee, God is there. But this is the one problem. We have to learn to say two words that are really difficult because of our pride. I'm sorry. Sometimes that's hard. No? I'm sorry. Those are two hard words. Now, we've heard them before. We know that we have to say them, but sometimes because of our pride, our egotism, we don't want to say them. Pope Francis, he's the present pontiff, he once said this, God never gets tired of forgiving us, but we get tired to ask forgiveness from God. I like that. I repeat, God never gets tired of forgiving us, but we sometimes get tired of asking forgiveness from God. Years ago, when they elected a new pope, and Pope Benedict is still living, he's in his 90s, he retired because of poor health, they asked Pope Francis, who are you? He could have said, well, you know, I was an Argentinian cardinal, and I was a philosopher, I was a teacher, I was a writer, I was a theologian. He could have said that. You know what he said? He said, yo soy pecador. You speak Spanish. Somebody speaks Spanish? What is that? Ana? He said, I am a sinner. That's the first way he identified himself. I'm a sinner. And this is the Pope. You say, no, I'm a famous theologian. I'm a writer. I was Archbishop Cardinal of one of the biggest dioceses in the world, Buenos Aires. No, he said, no, I'm a sinner. And honestly, we all have to say that too. We all make mistakes, right? Only God is perfect. And the worst person is not the person that has all the sins. The worst person is the person that says, I have no sin. You know, Pope Pius XII said, the sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. Yeah. It's a good one, isn't it? Pius XII. The sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. You probably met some people. I don't have any sins. They ask, where are you going? I'm going to church. What are you going to do? I'm going to confession. Well, what have you done? What have you done? You're so despicable. Do you have to go to that little box there? Come on. You know why Jesus came in the world? Today we celebrate St. Matthew. And you listen to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus said, I didn't come for the just. I came for the sinners. Do any of you know anything about St. Matthew? Tax collector. And what happened? What did Jesus do with this guy?
He asked him if he, will you follow me?
Yeah, so he draws close to the posts where Matthew is. And what did he give a long, long 2-hour discourse to Matthew? In Spanish it's 2 words, in English it's 3 words. Spanish is ven siga, in English you got 3 words. What did he say? Yeah. What did he do? said, no, no, I got to check the stock market. I got to see whether or not they have enough money in the Bank of Galilee. Did he say that? No. No. He got up and he left everything to follow Jesus right away. Now, I've often thought about this. Above and beyond the word was that Jesus, I think, looked into the eyes of Matthew and this penetrating gaze touched Matthew so much that he melted and he capitulated. So above and beyond the mere words, I think, was the love that Jesus had in his heart for this guy. And you know, Jesus wants to look in your eyes and he's saying, come follow me. You could pray over that. What does it mean, come follow me, if you're only 13 or 14? I think if you pray over that, God's going to give you a certain insight that maybe you never had before. Maybe you're clinging to certain things that are preventing you from following Christ. You know how they catch monkeys in Brazil? Any of you know? Very interesting. What they do is they pound a stake into the ground in the forest there, and then they get a chain, and they get a coconut, and they perforate the coconut, and they empty the milk. Because you ever see a coconut? They got the milk out. Got to get rid of them, and then they put some walnuts or peanuts or cashews that really smell good inside. And there's a hole. They put the hole, which is about this size. So the monkey gets close, or the monkeys. And you know, you ever see a monkey? They're pretty curious, right? You ever go to the zoo? They're jumping around. They look kind of a funny animal, isn't it? A monkey, no? We say, stop monkeying around. And he finally comes and he puts his little paw inside the coconut. And he's got the nuts. And then he can't seem to release those nuts. And he's yelling and yelling and yelling. And then the hunters come and they throw a net on top of him. And they drag him away. Could he have saved himself? Could he? What do you have to do?
Let go of the nuts.
Just had to open up his hand, let go of those nuts. I wonder if we have a little bit of that monkey in us. Mm-hmm. Is this the monkey club of St. Peter Chanel? Mm-hmm. Are we going to call it the monkey club of Linda? No. But we might be clinging to something. We're clinging to something, and we can't cling to God. If I want to give you 25 diamonds, each diamond is worth a quarter of a million. If you got sawdust in your hand, I can't put the diamonds in your hand, can I? What do you have to do? You got to relinquish the sin, right? You got to let it go. Then they can put in your hand those diamonds. So maybe you're clinging to certain things that are preventing us from grabbing the hand of Christ. Amen? Okay. So, let's move on. Number four?
Yes.
The basic catechism teaches us this truth. I am here to know God, to love, guess who? God, and to serve God in this life so as to be happy with Him forever and eternity. Jesus also said, what would it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? It's a powerful, powerful biblical verse. And St. Ignatius said that to Francis Xavier over and over again. And Francis Xavier did the spiritual exercise, became a great saint by meditating upon that biblical verse. Profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Okay, and that leads us number five, Saint Ignatius and our purpose in life. This great saint, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, in his book, The Spiritual Exercises, in his reflection, Principle and Foundation, states, man is created to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that to save his soul. To save his soul. How can I get to know God? To know God, I must study about him. There are many ways. Okay, let's see if these are possible ways in which I can get to know God. Going to catechism? What do you think? Okay, so mark that. How about, let's just put an X or a next to it. How about reading the Bible? Any of you have a Bible in your house? Do all of you have your own Bible? You all have your own Bible? That's good. You ever read it? Good idea to read the Bible. 5 minutes every night. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then maybe after that you can read the Acts of the Apostles, then the letters of Saint Paul, and then maybe you can go back to the Psalms, but start with the New Testament. You start to read some of those names in Leviticus and Numbers, you might get a little bit lost, these numbers and these kind of weird names. No, start with the New Testament. Okay, how about reading the lives of a saint? Is that good? Do any of you have a favorite saint?
Saint Dominic Savio.
Dominic Savio, great saint. You have a favorite saint? Saint who? Saint Francis of Assisi. Anyone here?
Saint Maria Grady.
Maria Grady, great saint, yeah.
Saint John.
Saint John.
Saint John Bosco?
John Bosco, founder of the Salesians, yeah.
Colby,
who died in the concentration camp, yeah?
Don Bosco.
Don Bosco, that was already mentioned, yeah.
Saint
Bernadette. Saint Bernadette, Our Lady of Lourdes appeared. Right? Anyone else? Have any of you ever read like a life of a saint? None of you yet? Who did you read?
Teresa
of Calcutta, the new saint, huh?
Saint John Bosco.
John Bosco. Are you read his life? Good.
St. Edmund Campion and also St. Dominic Savio.
Ah, how did Edmund Campion die?
He was drawn and quartered, which means they cut your head off, yeah. And then they mess with the rest of your body.
Yeah. He died right around the time of Thomas More, right? In the time of Henry VIII, yeah. Edmund Campion, yep. So good. So you read the lives of the saints, and next is this. Listen to good homilies and mass. You better mark that one, otherwise we'll be offended, huh? How about being? Do your parents have any good DVDs, maybe, on the life of a saint? About 50. You have some?
Yeah, I have seen
St. Joseph. Okay, any of you see Joseph of Cupertino? Any of you seen that one, or Philip Neri? Or how about Padre Pio? You must have seen the one of Padre Pio, did you? Remember, it starts out, he's a kid, maybe he's running and running, and there's dogs running after him. He arrives at the door, and the dog was actually the devil going after him. Remember that scene? And he was in his room, and the devil would be beating him up at night. Yeah, Padre Pio died when I was your age. Well, I was a year younger than you. He died in 1968 when I was 12 years old. So I remember when I was 6 or 7, my mom was always reading this Padre Pio. Huh? He had the stigmata, he was able to bilocate, he was able to read minds. Do you know what bilocate means? This is one that happened. He lived during the World War, and there was an American pilot flying over Italy, and he was about to drop bombs right where Padre Pio lived. And all of a sudden, he lifts up his gaze, and there's this guy that was flying in front of him with his beard, with his brown habit on, and that was Padre Pio. He was in the convent, and he was flying in front of that pilot at the same time. Pretty good gift, huh? And by the way, he didn't drop the bomb, okay? So that prevented his monastery from being bombarded and destroyed. It's called the gift of bilocation. I'd like to have that one day. Be a good gift, right? Be teaching the confessional at the same time. Maybe visiting someone in the hospital. No? Maybe trilocation, even better, huh? Okay, so viewing good DVDs. How about listening to good programs on Catholic radio? Do any of you know Catholic radio in Spanish and English?
Relevant radio.
Relevant radio, yeah. How about in Spanish? Okay. So if you know Spanish, Thursday at 1 o'clock, you turn it on, you can listen to someone who's very, very well known, no? I won't mention him, okay? The name is Barriendo Conciencias con Padre Escobita. It's been on for about 10 years. What?
Is he a fast walker that walks ahead of the officer raising mass?
You got it. Well said. How about viewing good programs on Catholic television?
Yes.
Now, what's the most famous Catholic television in the world? I'll give you a hint. It was started by a nun, religious nun.
EWTN.
You know what it means?
Eternal Word Television Network.
Okay. Eternal
Word
Television Network. Yeah. It was started by a contemplative nun, Mother Angelica, who died about 3 years ago. What's interesting is that when she was a little girl, she's from a divorced family. She never went to Mass, and she hated nuns, no? She goes on to become a nun and a foundress, and she's basically the one that founded EWTN, no? Just trusting totally in God. You can read her life written by Raymond Arroyo, a good life story. Okay, next. How can I grow in my love for God? Friends and fiancés grow to appreciate and love each other by spending good quality time with each other. So it is with God. So it is with Jesus. He is our best friend. We must spend time with Him. What do I do with Jesus? Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer is nothing more. This is, you've heard of Teresa of Avila, some of you? She says that prayer is nothing more than spending time with Jesus, my best friend, who I know loves me. So spending time with a good friend. You got a good friend? You want to spend some time with him? Jesus is your best friend. El amigo que nunca falla. Friend that never fails us, right? Okay, next. How can I serve God? First and foremost, I serve God by obeying His commandments. Obeying His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then I should try to help joyfully those who are closest to me, that is to say, my family members. That's where the rubber hits the road, huh? That's where it's kind of hard. Sometimes it's easier to get along with people outside your family than inside your family. They call it the Rip Van Winkle complex. No, you're kind to everyone outside the house, but you get in. Teresa of Avila said there's some nuns that are angels outside the convent, then they come back in the convent and they turn into devils. No. Hopefully that's not us, huh? I like Proverbs. One of my favorite in Spanish is Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Ever hear that one? How would you translate that? Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. That's a good one.
Candle in the street, darkness in the house.
Yeah. So outside, you're Mr. Wonderful, but once you come in, you turn into a ravenous lion. All right. Next. Number 10. What is my recompense? And I'd like to do, this is going to take another 2 minutes. After I finish this, the Pass Out Principle and Foundation, okay? Let me just finish this. Okay, what is my recompense or reward for all of the above? The purpose, the response to this question should fill you with joy, and it is... Heaven, that's right. It is heaven. The purpose, I can pass those out. The purpose and goal of our short life on earth is to know God, love God, and serve God so that we can be with Him forever in heaven. Maybe just pass them out. Okay. I just want to read, this is going to take another 90 seconds. This is the principle and foundation of St. Ignatius Loyola. We've done it in a very simple way. This is a little bit more complex, but we have a very erudite, intelligent group here, so you'll understand it pretty well. This is what I do when I give retreats. I always start off with this, and then I explain it in detail. Give me one, too. And this is called the first principle and foundation. And it's this. God created human beings, that's us, to praise, to reverence, and to serve God, and by doing this, to save their souls. God created all other things on the face of the earth to help fulfill this purpose. From this it follows that we are to use the things of this world only to the extent that they help us to this end. We ought to rid ourselves of the things of this world to the extent that they get in the way of this end. For this it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things as much as we're able, so that we do not necessarily want health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, a long rather than a short life, and so on all the rest, so that we ultimately desire and choose only what is most conducive for us to the end for which God created us. Amen. You can say a closing prayer, and then we'll have the attendance. Oh, is this the act of consecration to Mary? Okay. We're always going to end by consecrating yourself to the Blessed Mother. Okay, together. You'll have it. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. And to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am your own. Keep me and guard me as your property and possession. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. And with your spirit. God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God bless you and see you Mass on Sunday and next Friday, okay? Okay? Okay, good. God bless you. And now, do the roll call now, and I'll see you on Sunday. Okay. Thank you. You can be seated.